Hey, we're so excited that you're joining us here on Community Church Podcast, where our prayer is that you would find a better life with Jesus and a secure place in heaven. We hope this message encourages you, and if you want to find out more ways to connect, you can visit us at forabetterlife.org.
Come on, let's say all together, Lord, I am ready to hear your word, to believe your word, and to leave your word. Because I've been chosen for victory and not for defeat, for health and not for sickness, for prosperity and not for poverty. Because I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Come on, you got to believe that today in your life. You know, I'm married and it's been 13 years, going to 14 years with Steph. And one of the most memorable moments is that moment where I made the decision to take a knee. Yes, proposal. If you're married today, you know what I'm talking about. You had to go through it. If you're not married yet, you're going to have to go through it. So you better be getting ready for it, yes? Hey, the proposal is such an important moment in the journey of the couple. And I remember as I was getting ready to propose to Steph, you know, I'm filling up with laughter because there's so many good moments and memories about that time in my life. And that evening, there was a concert happening here at church. There was several hundreds of people here. And I remember I spoke to the artist that was here that day so we could get ready. I made a video. I had roses. And it's such a fun story. Some things didn't go the way we were planning them, but it's okay. At the end of the day, I go on stage, on this same stage, and I just get on one knee, and I pop the question, and I tell Steph, would you marry me? And would you imagine with me for a second that in the moment that I'm doing this, Steph would have pulled out a list of things to have ready before saying yes. I would imagine how that list would have read. Maybe in that list, I don't know, I would have found things like get a venue signed and ready. I don't know. Maybe get the guest list ready. Get the food menu ready. Get the honeymoon package ready. And maybe there will be a page 2 there. Would you imagine that? A page 2 that will go like, you know, make sure we have a savings account of $50,000. I don't know. Or maybe life insurance, right? Or maybe, I'm not sure, but maybe a prepaid college. I don't know. Would you imagine that moment with me for a second? I'm on one knee asking my girlfriend to become my wife, and the first thing she does is just take a moment to read a list of requirements. Not to get married with me, but to say yes. I think I will be heartbroken in that moment. And probably ashamed too, because that's a public ridicule. But would you imagine my heart? Man, like, that would be crazy. And just to put a little more twist to this imaginary moment, would you imagine Steph saying to me, you know what? Never mind on the list. I'll just get back to you on that. Oh, I already imagine my heart going into pieces. So much effort, so much dedication to get to a moment like that. I don't know, so much nervousness. Would you say yes? Would you say no? And definitely that would not be the answer I was waiting for. Legit, I'm not waiting for a list of things. I was waiting for a yes, right? Now, in that moment, I was supposed to give her the ring. I gave her the ring. And the message I would have gotten that's what she would have done, is that the ring is not enough. Like, literally, that ring is not enough. Well, you know what? This ring represents something when you're going to get engaged. This ring represents a promise. Like, I promise that we're going to build a life together, that we'll eventually buy a home, that eventually we'll build a family, right? So this is not like that moment when you're on your knee. It's not like a 40-day fiancé moment, right? Or a social experiment like The Circle. No, this is like a relationship that has a, a foundation that has been built on. And that's definitely not an answer or an action that I would expect from my future wife. And her just literally hanging me there saying like, you know, no, never mind. I'll get back to it. You know, I'll let you know maybe later. And this is obviously a made up scenario. But can I tell you that many times in our lives, we put ourselves in the same exact scenario. One of those scenarios that we tend to do this is in our relationship with God. Yes, I know it's crazy, right? Like in our relationship with God, we can get to this point in this moment that God shows up with a promise. Yes, God lets us know that He is our provider. God let us know that He is our healer. God lets us know that He is our peace. And in a moment right now, or in a moment like the ones that we're facing right now, you can find yourself answering to God, you know what? I'm not really sure about this. I don't have a job right now, and I'm not sure if you could be my provider, to be honest, Lord. So, you know what? I'll just get back to you on that one. Or maybe someone's sick in your family today, and God is showing Himself as the healer and saying, hey, by my stripes, you are healed. And you're like, I'm going to have to take a check on that, Lord. I'll get back to you on that later. I'm not sure because it's a stage 3 or stage 4 cancer. I'm not sure. I think it's over. Or maybe you're suffering of so much anxiety, you know, in these 30 days or something that we've been in this season. I woke up a couple of times feeling a lot of anxiety. Just the thought of listening to the news that it might not be April 30. I don't know. It might be May 15 or it might be just May 30. Oh my gosh, you know, I've had to deal with a lot of anxiety. But God is always knocking on my door saying, hey, I am your peace. But sometimes our reaction literally says this is like, I don't know about that. It's a little bit too hard right now to believe on that. I'm going to have to get back to you on that. And today's teaching is exactly that. That is the topic of today's teaching. Lord, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. And if you're like me, we're human beings. We have found ourselves in that situation many, many, many times, you know. But we're not alone on this. A lot of people go through this exact same feelings. Feeling of doubt, feeling of uncertainty, or trying to do other things to just try to make it till tomorrow. In the Bible, we find stories of people that went through it just like us. And today I'm excited because we're going to talk about the story of one of Jesus' disciples. His name is Thomas. And I believe that through the story of Thomas, you and I are going to learn some good tips on how to deal with uncertainty. How to work out uncertainty when it comes. If there's something certain in life, one of the things is that uncertainty will come and knock on our doors. The question is, how are we going to deal with it? Now, last Sunday, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And so oftentimes, we kind of like tend to live the story there. It's like, yeah, that is our victory, you know, as believers. And man, Jesus is not dead. He's alive and He is resurrected. Let's go. But funny thing is that when He resurrected, He spent 40 more days on earth before going to heaven. And there's so much you and I can learn from those moments, from those days that Jesus was here. And this is going to take us to our story today. And the text that we're about to read find us in that moment. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 14, the following. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with Him and who were mourning and weeping. Verse 11. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen Him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country, 2 of the disciples. Verse 13, these disciples returned and reported to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Verse 14, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Crazy story. Wow. Jesus resurrects, and there's kind of like this timeline that he follows, right? First, he comes and he shows himself to Mary Magdalene, and I love that. Now, there's something extremely particular. Let me take just a little detour for a second. I love the Bible being so specific in this moment. And he says that he appeared to Mary Magdalene, he who had helped her and freed her from 7 demons. It's crazy, right? That the first person that Jesus shows up to, it's probably not the most appropriate person. But you know what? Let me tell you something. That your sin doesn't disapprove you from God, because that's exactly why Jesus died for you and for me. If anything, what sin does, it allows us to have a Savior. It really does. And it's amazing. And I want to speak to you right now. I'm not sure what you're going through in your life today, but if you're listening to these words right now, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There is no height or depth. There is no demon. There is no sin. There is nothing you've done that could separate you from the love of God. There is an access for you to reach out to Jesus. And he is right there because he loves you. Amen. Amen. Now let's go back to our story. So Jesus keeps appearing one after another, and people are seeing him, and these people are going to the disciples to report this, to the apostles to report it, and they're like, I don't know about that. We don't believe. This is too crazy. Is it happening? Is it not happening? And then this keeps happening throughout the day, and in that moment, it gets to a moment that he shows up to the apostles, and they're like amazed and in awe of oh my God, everything that he said come to happen. They were sad. They were having a tough moment. They were weeping for Jesus. But all of a sudden, he shows up and everything starts changing in their surrounding. Now, I told you that we were going to speak about Thomas. But Thomas at this moment is nowhere to be found. Where is Thomas? Well, Thomas was not there at that moment. God knows only what he was doing and why he wasn't gathered with the rest of the people. So what this means and entitles is that Thomas missed the moment that Jesus showed up to the rest of the apostles. Now, so the apostles are obviously very excited. And when they get to see Thomas one more time, they share and say, Thomas, Jesus showed up to us. And this takes us to our next text. And what was Thomas's response to them? Let's read John chapter 20. Verse 24 through 25. The Bible says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. 25 says, they told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see it, the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. Wow, that was tough, right? I'm not sure if you've heard of people saying, I need to see to believe, but that's exactly the moment that Thomas was having. But I want us to take some time to speak about Thomas and speak about his journey for a second. And it's very easy for us to judge him at this moment and say, oh man, like this, what an unbeliever. What's wrong with you, Thomas? But if we pay a little bit more close attention to his story and we just use our imagination for a second, we might be surprised. Maybe Thomas is not that different from you and I. So at this moment where Thomas goes like, I don't know about that. You know what? I'm going to have to take a rain check on that. I'll let you know about this. I'll get back to you on that matter later. In that moment, if we kind of like see his story a little bit, if you think about this, and not only him, but his disciples, which, by the way, also doubted, as we read before, it was a very traumatic moment. Think about it for a second. They have been with Jesus. They walk with Jesus. They've been part of the ministry. Their lives have been changed. Thomas was a witness of so many miracles. Thomas walked with Jesus so close. He was one of the disciples. Thomas was one of those who were close when the whole process was happening. This means that Thomas saw Jesus suffer. Thomas saw Jesus getting crucified, being completely disfigured from his body. Man, that's not very easy. And now this moment comes when they're going at him and saying, hey, yo, Thomas, Jesus is alive. And they're like, and he's like, whoa, no. You ain't gonna sell it to me that easy, man. Like, you know what? I've been having a bad day. I don't know. What I've seen is way too much. I need proof, actually. I need to see the holes in Jesus' hands. And not only that, but I need to put my fingers in it, and then probably I'll believe. Oh my God, that is super crazy. You know what? So many times for you and I, it's very hard to deal with uncertainty because of the things that we have seen and the things that we've been through, the things that we've lived, our experiences. And then all of a sudden, there's a message of hope. There is a promise of Jesus. And we're like, I don't know if that's so easy for me to believe. But I want you to note something here. We can easily put Thomas as an unbeliever. But I want to tell you something. I don't believe Thomas was an unbeliever, because there's a huge difference between an unbeliever and someone that has uncertainty. The definition of unbelief is lack of faith. That means that there is no belief. That means that you don't believe in God. That means that you don't count with God. You don't believe in Him or who He is. But uncertainty is completely different. The definition of uncertainty is not able to be relied on, or not known, or not definite. As like, I need a little bit more of proof on this. Like, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about this situation. You know, how many times you and I find ourselves in moments like this? And I think this season that where we're going through worldwide is such a good example. You know, I believe in God. I'm all good. But, you know, I don't know if God's going to get me out of this. I don't have the money to pay the rent right now. I just got laid off. They asked me not to come back. We're waiting for the government's aid to come to me. Or maybe you're a student going like, I don't know, man. Would I even graduate this year? Am I going to even finish the years? There's so much uncertainty, but you still believe in God. So what we're talking about here is so important, because we can't call uncertainty unbelief. No, don't get confused. You believe in God, that's great. Now we have to go through the motions and try to figure out how can we deal with uncertainty. And today, that's exactly what we're going to do. I want to give you a couple of tips on how we can deal with uncertainty. And as we get there, I want to speak to you that maybe you are suffering or you're having unbelief, like you don't believe in God. Can I tell you that I'm so glad that you're tuning in today and you're still with us listening to this? I want to encourage you, because I've been there myself before. There's no faith. There's no believing in God. I want to encourage you to continue watching this. I believe God wants to say something to you. I just want to encourage you to open your heart and open your mind so that God can come and speak to you today. Now, we continue the story of Thomas. And before we learn a little bit more from him and get more practical and how to get some tips of things that we can do to deal with uncertainty today, I love the fact that Thomas took 8 days to actually come to his senses. Literally, the Bible says that since the moment he expressed himself saying these things like, I don't know, I have to actually put my fingers in the holes. From that moment till Jesus shows up one more time, he spent 8 days. Now, I love this. There's so much there to understand. That means that he spent a whole week fighting. He spent a whole week doubting, maybe, or like just dealing with that uncertainty. But how many of you know that God is a good God? And then God showed up one more time. And in this occasion, Thomas was right there where he's supposed to be. Let's read that. In the same verses that we were just reading, we're going to continue John chapter 20, verse 26 through 29. The Bible says, eight days later, the disciples were together again. In this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing." What a relief to hear this. Jesus showed up one more time. He didn't go to heaven. No, he waited for Thomas to come around and to get to the understanding and get back to his faith. You know, you maybe are having a moment like Thomas or a Thomas season. That uncertainty is so hard and is so deep in your heart right now. But I want to encourage you today that whatever that you're uncertain of, believe that God will come through in your life. And let's check out three things that we can remember so that we can deal with uncertainty when it comes knocking on our door. First thing we can do today, remember who is giving you the promise. Remember who is giving you the promise. This is going to help us to not to say to God, "I'm going to have to put you in a hold on that, Lord." No. When we understand who is giving us the promise, we can be assured that that who gives the promise will come through. Why? Because God is not a liar. Can you believe that? God is not a liar. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19, God is not human that he shall lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Can you and I believe today that the one that is giving us the promise, the one that is showing up with the ring, it is God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the lover of your soul, the one that sent his son to die for you and for me. You know, when I was on my knee and I was proposing to Steph, she knew who was giving her the ring. She knew it was a four-year relationship full of beautiful processes, highs and lows. Like, I was no stranger. Can you remind yourself today that God is not a stranger in your life? He is the one that loves you. He is the one that is for you. I can imagine Thomas's life for a second. You know, in that moment, understanding that he had uncertainty in his heart in those 8 days of process of thinking, what's going on? Oh my gosh, it is true. It is not true. There's so many witnesses now. But why am I having trouble with this? But I don't know. Is he really like restored? Is his body really restored? Like, oh man, how is he going to look? I think at that moment, Thomas had to remind himself of the words of Jesus into his life. I think Thomas in that moment had to remember who Jesus was in his life and in his journey. I think that if you and I take a moment in the midst of uncertainty to remember ourselves who has spoken the word into our lives, who has spoken life into our lives, who has been the one that is right there saying, "I am your healer, I am your protector, I am the one that brings peace, I am the one that is your provider." It's not anyone saying that. It is God Almighty doing that. The second thing we can remember and how we can definitely deal with uncertainty in our life is to remember a time where God did something in our lives. God is a good God. And I know that God has shown several times in your life and in my life. You know, I think about Thomas in those 8 days after saying to God, after saying to the disciples, I'm going to have to get back on you guys on that. I don't know about that. I imagine those 8 days, that feeling inside, remembering. You know, Thomas was exposed to so many miracles, so many conversations, deep conversations, everyday life conversation. And Thomas lived with Jesus. And I think one of the biggest keys that brought back Thomas to meet to the apostles and eventually see Jesus one more time was that he took the time to remember. To remember all these good moments. Can I encourage you today to remember the good things that God has already done in your life? That you can grab those. That you can grab those moments and those stories where you go like, man, God did this in my life. Oh, I remember that time when things were very difficult in that relationship. But you know what? God brought peace into my heart. I remember when I went through that depression. I remember when I was sick. But you know what? God did this in my life. Oh, God showed up in my life. God came and reminded me how good He is. Because God is for us. God is not against us. And if you're listening today, I want to encourage you right now to bring to mind and to heart those things that God has already done in your life. Believing that He who started the work, He who started the good work in you, He will come through and He will make it happen. If you and I can trust that, I think we can deal with uncertainty pretty well. So not only we should remember who is giving us the promise, we should remember what God has done in our lives. And number three, we need to remember who we are. Yes, remember who you are. The Bible says in John 1:12, but to all who believe in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. Remember who you are. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. You have been welcomed. You've been called into God's family. And you got to remember that. I imagine Thomas, again in those 8 days, not only remembering Jesus and who He was, not only remembering Jesus and what He has done, but also remembering who He was. And how loved he felt with Jesus. How embraced he felt with Jesus. It's incredible. But when we remember these things in our lives, we can fight against uncertainty. And we can defeat uncertainty. And have our faith being used at its maximum potential. Today, I want to encourage you to grab these truths in your life. And instead of just putting a hold on that, Lord, you can be a disciple. You can be a follower, a believer of Jesus that says, yes, I believe it's hard, but I'm going to believe. I'm going to use my faith. I don't know how God is going to come through in this situation, but if He said that He's my provider, I'm going to immediately believe it. I'm not going to take like Thomas, okay? I'm not going to take 8 days. And if you have taken 8 days, hey, it's okay. Jesus is right there waiting for you to come back to your senses. But I want to encourage you, as we grow in this process, in this season, I want to encourage you to come on, believe and act fast. Come on, believe and say, yes, that's what is going to happen because I know God is for me. You know, pull on Abraham, right? Come on. Pull in Abraham. You know, the Bible, I love the Bible because it expresses us in the story of Abraham as he was sacrificing his son, wow, Isaac. You know that the Bible says that he knew that God had the power to resurrect it, to resurrect his son, that he was going to pull through, that he was going to believe God, that he was going, even if his son had to die, because he knew, immediately knew in his heart that God can bring him back from the dead. I believe that that's the faith that you and I need to have today. That if God has said it, no matter what I've been through, no matter the traumatic experiences, no matter the bad experiences, no matter the past experiences, it doesn't matter. Today I choose to believe. I'm going to believe what God has said in my life, and I'm going to see Him act and do something powerful in me. Wow. Let me pray for you today. God, thank you so much for your presence in this moment in our lives. Thank you, Lord, because even if there's uncertainty in our hearts, you are still there. You keep showing up. You keep giving us one chance after another chance. And even when we failed and we have uncertainty, you're still there. And you keep pushing us to believe and know that you are going to do something in our lives. Today we choose, Lord, to have an attitude of faith. Today we choose to take a stand in the situation and allow you to be God and see you work in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And today I speak to you in these final minutes. Maybe you are an unbeliever. Maybe there's lack of faith. There's no faith in your heart. I want to encourage you today. Would you open your heart and give one chance to Jesus? Maybe you have tried so many times, so many different ways. Well, I want to invite you today, give it a try. Open your heart to Jesus and decide, choose to believe today and activate your faith. What's the first step? The first step is address the situation with Jesus. And the way we do this is through a prayer. And I want to guide you today. Would you repeat after me with all the honesty of your heart and say to Jesus, Jesus, this moment I'm thankful for. And today I make a decision. I open my life and I give you my heart. Today I activate my faith that you placed inside of me. And I believe in you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Be sure to visit us at forabetterlife.org, where you can get connected, plan a visit to any one of our services, send us any prayer requests you may have, or take your next step in your spiritual walk. If you've decided to give your life to Jesus today, congratulations, we're so excited for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us and connect at forabetterlife.org.